Fun fact, I have been a director at the community theater level for a few decades now. Started very young, to be clear. And if I had a nickel for every time I explained how I chose to cast a show, well, I'd have a lot of nickels. I often describe the process as similar to working a puzzle. Just like the physical jigsaw puzzles, most people have a strategy, and unless you're a crazed serial killer, you start by extracting the edge pieces to create a frame. Now, to cast a play or a musical, I do the same thing. What's that one role that has to be a certain something, either by the nature of that character's skill or talent requirements, or simply by pulling who all did or didn't show up to auditions as the starting point, and then choosing people to fill the other roles that best match up or fit within that frame. Now, sometimes the choices I make aren't what I'd originally thought, but based on this initial framework decision, eventually all the puzzle pieces fit into the right places, and a picture, cast photo, becomes clear. Brand isn't really any different than this, and while nobody ever wants to type out of an audition, a fancy term that just means you didn't have the matching puzzle jigs and jags to fit the space boops allotted, it's still the best way to not get cast over a lack of talent or skill. So when a strong brand isn't chosen due to an ill fit with an audience, well, it's still a win over learning it wasn't chosen because of a bad experience or reputation. Hi, I'm Amy Jackson, creative director, award-winning designer, color nerd, and unapologetic brand evangelist. And this is Brand Is Not a Four-Letter Word. Today, let's dive in a bit deeper into what makes up a brand, specifically its character. I touched on this in the previous episode, so if you haven't checked that one out, I suggest you go back and do so. When I describe a branding project to a new client, I talk about the whole thing in a human way because it's so relatable, and I start with the brand's character as if it were an actual person. Through a variety of exercises, we drill down to specific character traits we want to lean into, and in my brand talks, I often start by describing a brand's character just like I would a person with specific physical and social traits. I even usually point out that there are some things that are just innate about me. I've got a fairly bubbly personality. I'm short, and I tend to exhibit the traits of a short person, including my penchants for keeping step stools in most rooms of my home. And I can dive deep with you on a number of topics related to literature because I am innately a reader. On a social level, I tend to be an extrovert, and that plays out into other aspects of who I am because that's one of my many character traits. An organization is the same. It naturally can be and often is many, many things, but branding allows us to select, refine, and elevate specific traits that resonate the most with our mission, our values, allows us to strengthen the perception of who that organization is with its internal and external audiences in the market. I like to say that this step is like selecting clothing for a person or a brand. Are you a bow tie or an open collar brand? How do we dress that brand to help people recognize their personality match right away? From there, we have to make decisions about where the brand's home is. What style is the home and how is it decorated? Arena, positioning, visual assets. But that's getting into other areas that we're not focused on today. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. There is much more to a brand than just its character, but that is the element that we're talking about. There are actually two big character-driven elements to discuss in most branding projects. Personas, now often rebranded and lightened as avatars, and archetypes. Now, brand personas have existed for a good long while now, and they are exactly what they sound like. Using data, demographics, and experience, brand personas are created to give your entire operation a prototype of a specific human in their target audience, some real person they serve. Now, these can be as simple as a note card with a photo, fake name, some pain points, and ways to best communicate how they're moving along the journey, but they can also be so much more elaborate. I know one company that actually created an apartment for their key persona on site at their corporate headquarters so that team members could visit the persona's environment and think about them whenever they were solving problems with their product or service. The problem is personas can also get a pretty bad rap because, in essence, they are a stereotype. And while no one wants to hear stereotype as a word, brand personas were never meant to be nuanced or anything specific about a specific type of person. In fact, they weren't supposed to be specific at all. They're an overarching guide of a genre from the organization's target audiences. It was certainly never meant to be customer-facing, but, you know, details can sometimes leak out and, well, let's just say personas weren't always well-received. So I think that a series of personas can really help a brand build advocates and educate your team members, your internal audience, but they definitely need to be carefully curated, authenticated, and reviewed regularly to be of value. And rolling out this information should be handled with care as well. Similar to personas, but different in nature, are brand archetypes. These can so incredibly help shape your brand's personality. First, let me offer this. Archetypes have, of course, been around forever in many industries. And as the concept of archetypes became more familiar in use with brand development, I noticed a sort of random fluidity in the number of roles. So you may have heard about 6, the usual 12. I've even seen 36 different archetypes created for branding. And I think that these should be reviewed to select your company's key archetype. So for today's thinking, let's just assume I'm talking about the traditional 12. All of these have unique strengths and flaws that help identify their personality. And I won't be able to dive into each of those in this episode, but let me know if you'd like a series that explores each archetype in the future. But back to my point, archetypes help create emotional connection by tapping into universal instincts. They can help differentiate from competitors by carving out a unique market position, and they also offer ways to communicate about what makes a brand something different. They can provide a clear framework for a brand's voice and tone and even its visual library, and they can help build a consistent identity, even drive strategic decisions for your company. All of which you've heard me say before is what a brand is supposed to do. It's how a brand is able to consistently deliver a message that is heard amongst all of that noise in the communication cycle. Personas and archetypes, avatars, character traits, it's all good fodder to help you identify the thing that makes your brand your brand. It helps you to define who you most authentically are, which, as I've stated, is key to a brand's success. So here's this episode's brand hack. If you haven't already, snag that list of adjectives you and your team made about your brand from episode 1. And here's a plug to go back and listen to that episode if you haven't already. Review your list. Add to it if you've gotten more insight or inspiration from the last episode's survey hack or since just the original inception of your list. There's no limit to the number of adjectives that align with who you are as a company, organization, brand. Now, categorize. And again, if you already did this, just review those categories and make any adjustments. Sort the various traits into similar piles. Stack up duplicates, group things that are alike so you can begin to see what resonates more often. Now comes the hard part. Take a critical look at all that your brand is. And now think about what it should be. Don't assume anything or any category is bad because this isn't a quiz. There's no wrong answers. I promise. It's just begin to pile something together and determine what you could lean into more to help your brand evolve, to become more authentically its own unique self. What is forward thinking versus maybe old you? What serves your community better? What helps you stand apart in your competition pool? What feels like it becomes a mission? Clear the table of any categories that don't align well with these questions and tuck them away. They aren't going to serve you in determining your brand's authentic character. Okay, last step, and I know this hack has been a doozy, but now you need to take one last pass and ask yourself, is this really who the brand innately is and should be? Or is it just cool? Is it beyond aspirational to becoming a fantasy? Would someone else agree with me that my organization is fill in the blank? If you can't firmly nod your head, clear these off the table as well. When you drill down to that final small handful of traits, 3 to 5 maximum, it's the beginning of your authentic brand character. This project can take a lot of time and effort, but the results will kickstart an incredible brand journey. because brand isn't a four-letter word. It's your best strategy and your strongest story. Let's build your brand together. Learn how at brandisnotaforletterword.com, where strategy and storytelling meet design.